الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، فهذا هو المجلس الرابع والأخير من المجالس المتعلقة بشرح أصول السنة للإمام أبي بكر عبد الله بن الزبير الحميدي القرشي مفتي مكة وشيخ الحرم رحمه الله تعالى، حيث قال: وألا نقول كما قالت الخوارج، أي السنة عندنا ألا نقول كما قالت الخوارج: من أصاب كبيرة فقد كفر، ولا نكفر بشيء من الذنوب، إنما الكفر في ترك الخمس التي قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: بني الإسلام على خمس: شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله والسلام، وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وصوم رمضان وحج البيت. فأما ثلاث منها، ويعني بها الشهادة والصلاة والصوم، فأما ثلاث منها فلا يناظر تاركها: من لم يتشهد ولم يصلي ولم يصم، لأنه لا يؤخر شيء من هذا عن وقته، ولا يجزئ من قضاه بعد تفريطه فيه عامدا عن وقته. فأما الزكاة فمتى ما أداها أجزأت عنه وكان آثما في الحبس. وأما الحج فمن وجب عليه ووجد السبيل إليه وجب عليه، ولا يجب عليه بعامة ذلك حتى لا يكون له منه بد، متى أداه كان مؤديا ولم يكن آثما في تأخيره إذا أداه كما كان آثما في الزكاة، لأن الزكاة حق لمسلمين مساكين حبسه عليهم فكان آثما حتى وصل إليهم. وأما الحج فكان فيما بينه وبين ربه، إذا أداه فقد أدى، وإن هو مات وهو واجد مستطيع ولم يحج سأل الرجعة إلى الدنيا أن يحج، ويجب لأهله أن يحجوا عنه، ونرجو أن يكون ذلك مؤديا عنه كما لو كان عليه دين فقضي عنه بعد موته. أبا أفنان.
نعم شيخنا.
هذا المقطع لا تترجمه، وإنما ترجم الشرف.
طيب،
واضح، لأن سيأتي معناه في الشرح اختصارا.
واضح شيخنا.
الكلام على هذا المقطع الذي قرأته قبل قليل من كلام الإمام الحميدي رحمه الله سيكون في خمس أو ست جهات. الجهة الأولى عن مذهب أهل السنة ومذهب الخوارج في مرتكب كبائر الذنوب. أهل السنة والحديث لا يكفرون أهل الإسلام بمطلق المعاصي والكبائر، وإنما يقولون عن مرتكب الكبيرة هو مؤمن ناقص الإيمان أو مؤمن عاص أو مؤمن بإيمانه فاسق بكبيرته، ثم هو يوم القيامة تحت مشيئة الله، إن شاء عفى عنه بمنه وكرمه، وإن شاء أدخله النار بقدر ذنوبه ليطهره بها ثم يخرجه منها بتوحيده فيدخل الجنة. والتكفير عندهم إنما يكون بارتكاب الأشياء التي دل الكتاب والسنة دلالة واضحة على أنها من نواقض الإسلام. وتمت في حق المرتكب شروط التكفير وانتفت عنه الموانع. تفضل.
جزاك الله خير يا شيخ وبارك الله فيك. الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى, he began by stating that this is the fourth and the last gathering or sitting of studying this book, the book of Usul al-Sunnah from Al-Imam Abi Bakr Abdullah ibn Zubair al-Humaydi al-Qurashi al-Makki, the Imam of the Haram. May Allah have mercy upon him, rahimahullah ta'ala. And the Shaykh, he read the text, and he proceeded to explain what the author has said in this portion of the text. And the Shaykh Hafidha Allah Ta'ala, he said that with regards to this section of the text, it will be broken down into six parts. The first part is the position of the madhab of Ahlul Sunnah and the madhab of the Khawarij with regards to a person who has committed a major sin. And the position of Ahlul Sunnah with regards to a person who commits a major sin, they do not make takfir of him. Rather, they say he is a mu'min, naqis al-iman, or a believer who is deficient with regards to his faith. And they also say that he is a believer with regards to his faith and a sinner with regards to the major sin that he has committed. And if the individual, the position of Ahl Sunnah is that if the individual dies upon this major sin, then he is taht al-mashi'ah, or as Allah wills. If he decides, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to punish him, he will punish him. And if he decides to forgive him, then he forgives him. But they do not declare, the position of Ahl Sunnah is that they do not declare the person who has died upon a major sin to be a disbeliever. They say he is under Allah's mashi'ah or his will. And they say that with regards to Ahl Sunnah, they do not make takfir of an individual unless that individual has fallen into what is considered to be disbelief according to Ahl Sunnah, and provided that the conditions of this ruling have been met by the individual, and that there is nothing or muwani', nothing preventing that ruling from being established. Tafadhal Shaykh, barakallahu fi.
وأن الخوارج فإنهم يكفرون المسلم بارتكاب كبائر الذنوب حتى ولو كانت كبيرة واحدة, ويأخذون عليه لأنه من الخالدين في النار بسبب فعله لها.
جزاك الله خير يا شيخ وبارك الله فيك. The Shaykh Hafidha Allah Ta'ala, he said the position of the Khawarij, or the madhab of the Khawarij, they declare a person as being a disbeliever for committing a major sin, even if that major sin was only one major sin. And they say that this individual, if he dies upon that major sin, even if it only be one, they say that he is in the hellfire forever, and he will not be removed from the hellfire. تفضل الشيخ بارك الله فيك.
وقد دل على صحة مذهب أهل السنة والحديث وبطلان مذهب الخوارج القرآن والسنة والإجماع. أما القرآن فقد قال الله تعالى وإن طائفتان من المؤمنين اقتتلوا فأصلحوا بينهما. فوجه الاستدلال من هذه الآية أن الله سبحانه وتعالى سماهم مؤمنين مع وجود الاقتتال والبغي من بعضهم على العرب. تفضل.
الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى, جزاك الله خير شيخ وبارك الله فيك. The Sheikh حفظه الله تعالى, he said that the position of Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah has been established by the proofs, the overwhelming proofs, and these proofs are from the Quran and the Sunnah and the Ijma' of the ulama of Ahl Sunnah. And the proofs also establish the falsehood of the madhab of the Khawarij. And from the proof of Ahl Sunnah with regards to a person committing a major sin, not being a disbeliever, is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, where he says the meaning of, and if two groups from the mu'mineen, if they fight, then rectify between them. And the Shaykh Hafidha Allah Ta'ala, he said, where is the proof in this ayah? The proof in this ayah is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to these two groups as mu'mineen, as being believers, even though they have fought, and battled with each other. Allah has still called them mu'mineen. He has still labeled them as being believers, despite this sin that was committed by a group of them. Tafadhal Shaykh, barakallahu fik.
وقال تعالى إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. ووجه الاستدلال من هذه الآية أن الله قد جعل سائر الذنوب تحت المشيئة, إن شاء غفرها لعبده وإن شاء عذبه بها, إلا ذنب الشرك والكفر فلا يغفره. فدلت هذه الآية على أن كبائر الذنوب لا يدخل بها المسلم, بل هو تحت مشيئة الله, إن شاء عذبه بها وإن شاء عفا عنه. تفضل.
جزاك الله خير شيخ وبارك الله فيك. The Shaykh Hafidha Allah Ta'ala, he said another proof from the position of Ahl Sunnah, or establishing the position of Ahl Sunnah, is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, where he says that Allah Azza wa Jal, he does not forgive shirk being committed with him, but he forgives everything else under that. And this proves, the Shaykh Hafidha Allah Ta'ala, he says that anything less than shirk, this shows that Allah will forgive anything less than shirk, which shows that the major sins that an individual may commit, they are those things which Allah forgives. And it shows that if the person, this is proof that if the person dies upon a major sin, that he is under the Mashi'a or Allah's will. If Allah wills to forgive him, he will forgive him, and if not, he will punish him. And it shows that the person who has committed a major sin is under the Mashi'a, and he is not a disbeliever, as the Khawarij declare. Tafadhal Shaykh, barakallahu fik.
Another point that I have من السنة ما صح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الله جل وعلا قال يا ابن آدم إنك لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم لا تشرك بي شيئا لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة. فوجه الاستدلال من هذا الحديث هو نفس وجه الاستدلال من الآية السابقة. وصح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال شفاعتي لأهل الكبائر من أمتي. ووجه الاستدلال من هذا الحديث أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سيشفع يوم القيامة لأهل الكبائر, وشفاعته لهم تدل على أنهم من المسلمين وليسوا من الكفار, وأن فعلهم بهذه الكبائر لا يكفرهم ولا يخرجهم عن الإسلام, بل يكونون من المسلمين المذنبين العصاة. تفضل.
جزاك الله خير يا شيخ وبارك الله فيك. The Sheikh Hafidah Allah Ta'ala, he proceeded to mention Dalil from the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, establishing the fact that, or the position of Ahlul Sunnah, that a person who commits major sins is not considered a disbeliever and does not fall outside the pale of Islam. And from these proofs, or from the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the hadith where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Allah said, O Ibn Adam, O the son of Adam, if you come to me with the earth's equivalent of sins and you do not commit, commit shirk with me, then I will come to you with the earth's equivalent of maghfirah or forgiveness. And the second hadith, and the wajl istidlal, or the area of proof, or where the proof is in this hadith, it's the same as the ayah that the Shaykh Hafidah Allah alluded to before, that Allah forgives anything under shirk. Shirk is what is not forgiven, but anything from the major sins that is committed, if the person dies upon this, then he is under the mashia of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the second hadith is the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said, my intercession is for the people of my ummah who have committed major sins, or the people of major sins who have committed major sins from my ummah. And this is proof that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he will intercede for those people who committed major sins from his ummah. And the fact that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will intercede for them, it shows that, and this is an illustration, that they are still Muslim. That even though they committed major sins, they have not fallen outside the fold of Islam. They are still Muslims, and they are tahta mashia, or under Allah's will. If he decides to forgive them for these major sins, he will forgive them. And if not, he will punish them. But it shows that they are still Muslim and that they have not fallen outside of the pale of Islam. Tafadhal Shaykh, barakallahu fiik.
وأما الإجماع فقد نقله جمع من الأئمة أبي حاتم وأبي زرعة الرازيين والمزني وابن عبد البر الطابوري والإسماعيلي والبغوي والنووي وابن تيمية وابن أبي العيد. تفضل.
جزاك الله خير يا شيخ وبارك الله فيك. The Shaykh Hafidah Allah Ta'ala, he said, with regards to the ijma' or the scholarly consensus that the ulama have established or used as proof for the position of Ahl Sunnah, from the ulama that recorded or noted this ijma', you have Ibn Abi Hatim, you have the two Razis, Sabuni, Al-Baghawi, Ismaili, also Ibn Abdul Izz, and Ibn Abdul Burr, amongst other scholars, who all declared that there is ijma' establishing the position of Ahl Sunnah with regards to the person who has committed a major sin and that he has not fallen into disbelief. Tafadhal Shaykh, barakallahu fi.
Al-Jihad al-Thaniya, وهي عن تاريخ أركان الإسلام الخمسة التي صح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال في شأنها: بني الإسلام على خمس: شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله، وأن محمدا رسول الله، وإقام الصلاة، وإيتاء الزكاة، والحج، وصوم رمضان. تفضل.
جزاك الله خير يا شيخ، بارك الله فيك. The Shaykh Hafidah Allah Ta'ala, he said that the second area with regards to the speech of the author is the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is an authentic hadith, the hadith of Ibn Umar, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, Islam has been built upon five pillars. And the pillars, of course, are the testification that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and messenger, the establishing of the prayer, the paying of the zakat, the fasting of Ramadan, and the hajj to Allah's house upon having the ability to do so. So this is the hadith that the Shaykh mentioned. Tafadhal Shaykh, barakallahu fik.
وتحت هذه الجهة ثلاث مسائل. المسألة الأولى عن تعريف النطق بالشهادتين، شهادة لا إله إلا الله وشهادة أن محمدا رسول الله، مع قدرته على التلفظ بهما. من استطاع أن يتلفظ وينطق بالشهادتين فلم يتلفظ مع قدرته فإن إسلامه لا يصح، بل لا يزال على كفره، وهذا بإجماع أهل العلم، وقد حكاه عنهم القاضي عياض وابن تيمية وابن قيم الجوزية وغيرهم.
تفضل. جزاك الله خير يا شيخ وبارك الله فيك. The Sheikh حفظه الله تعالى, he stated that this second area related to what the author has said, under this area you have three issues, and the first of these issues is the person who leaves off pronouncing or verbalizing the shahada that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger. The person who leaves off this pronunciation or this verbalization of the shahada, and he has the ability to do so. If he has the ability to do so, but he doesn't, then his Islam is not correct. Rather, he is still upon kufr or disbelief. And this is a statement that has been made by the ulama. This is ijma' regarding this. And from the ulama who declared ijma' regarding this issue are from the likes of Ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Jawzi, and also Qadhi Yaab, and you have other scholars as well who mention ijma' regarding this issue. تفضل شيخ بارك الله فيك.
المسألة الثانية وهي عن تارك الصلاة والصوم والزكاة والحج لحودا. من ترك الصلاة والصوم والزكاة والحج جاحدا لفرضيتها منكرا لوجوبها فإنه كافر بإجماع أهل العلم، وقد نقله جمع كبير جدا منهم، وذلك لأن جحده وإنكاره لوجوبها على العباد يعتبر تكذيبا وردا للآيات الكثيرة والأحاديث الكثيرة الدالة على أن الله قد فرضها وأوجبها على عباده. تفضل.
جزاك الله خير شيخ وبارك الله فيك. The Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى, he said that the second issue is the person who leaves the salat, the zakat, the shawm, and hajj, and he leaves them due to juhudan, or denying their being obligatory and disbelieving in the fact that they are obligatory things or obligatory forms of worship that Allah has made obligatory. And there is ijma' regarding this. A numerous amount of scholars have declared ijma' regarding the person who leaves off these things due to his denying them or disbelieving or denying their obligation. Ijma' regarding the person's disbelief regarding this. And the reason why the ulama have declared him as being a disbeliever is because this denial is considered a rejection of the numerous verses and hadith which demonstrate these four things as being obligatory matters of which يعني, there is no denying. تفضل شيخ بارك الله فيك.
المسألة الثالثة وهي عن تارك الصلاة تهاونا وتكاسلا مع إيمانه بأن الله قد فرضها وأوجبها عليه. وهذا كافر عند كثير من السلف الصالح وعامة أهل الحديث، وذلك لما صح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة، فمن تركها فقد كفر. وأخرج، ولما أخرجه الإمام مسلم في صحيحه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: إن بين الرجل وبين الشرك والكفر ترك الصلاة. وصح عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه أنه قال: أما إنه لا حظ في الإسلام لأحد ترك الصلاة. تفضل.
جزاك الله خير يا شيخ وبارك الله فيك. The Shaykh Hafidhah Allah Ta'ala, he said that the third mas'ala or the third issue is the issue of the person who leaves the salat, not denying its obligation, but rather he leaves the salat out of laziness and procrastination, whilst at the same time acknowledging that it is obligatory. This individual, he is a disbeliever, or he's fallen into disbelief, according to many of the ulama. And the Shaykh Hafidhah Allah Ta'ala, he said that this person is a disbeliever, and this is the general opinion, this is the opinion of the, or the position of the general population of Ahl al-Hadith, or the general body of Ahl al-Hadith. And the proof for this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that the al-ahd, or the covenant between us and them, يعني the disbelievers, is the salat. So the one who leaves it has فقد كفر, or he has disbelieved. And then the Shaykh Hafidhah Allah Ta'ala, he mentioned the next hadith, the second hadith, which is authentically related from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, between a man and shirk and kufr is the leaving of the salat. So between an individual and shirk and kufr is the leaving of the salat. And then the Shaykh Hafidhah Allah Ta'ala, he read a narration from Umar radiallahu anhu, where he said, Umar, this is a statement of Umar, he said that there is no portion of Islam for the one who has left the salat. He has left the prayer. Tafadhal Shaykh, barakallahu fi.
المسألة الرابعة وهي عن تارك الزكاة والصوم والحج تعاونا وتكاسلا، وهذا لأهل العلم فيه خلاف، فمنهم من ذهب إلى تكفيره، ومنهم من قال إنه ليس بكافر بل هو فاسق مرتكب لذنوب من أكبر الذنوب ومعاص من أشد المعاصي وآثام من أعظم الآثام وسيئات من أغلب السيئات، وهو على خطر عظيم جدا إذا لقي الله على مثل هذا الحال. وهذا القول هو الأقرب. تفضل.
Jazakallah khairan, Shaykh, wa barakallahu fiik. The Shaykh Hafidhah Allah Ta'ala, he said the fourth mas'ala, or the fourth issue, is the individual who leaves off zakah, yani the poor rate, paying the poor rate, or a sawm, fasting, or al-hajj, yani making the hajj out of laziness and procrastination. The Shaykh Hafidhah Allah Ta'ala, he said there is a difference of opinion amongst the ulama with regards to the individual who falls into this. There are those from the scholars of Ahl Sunnah who say that if a person leaves these things off due to procrastination and laziness, then he has fallen into disbelief. And then there are other ulama who say that if the person who has done this, he has not fallen into disbelief, rather he has committed the biggest of sins and the most reprehensible of sins and the ugliest of sins, and the person is in a very, very dangerous position by leaving off these things, but he has not fallen into disbelief. And the Shaykh Hafidha Allah Ta'ala, he said that this is the strongest opinion. Tafaddal Shaykhana, barakallahu fik wa ahsanallahu ilayk. خذ راحتك شيخنا.
الجهة الثالثة، إذا ترك المسلم شيئا من صلاته أو صيامه الواجبين متعمدا حتى خرج وقتهما وجب عليه قضاؤهما عند عامة الفقهاء، ومنهم الأئمة الأربعة المشهورون أبو حنيفة ومالك والشافعي وأحمد، بل نقل بعض أهل العلم الإجماع على ذلك. تفضل.
جزاك الله خير شيخ، بارك الله فيك. The Sheikh حفظه الله تعالى, he stated that the third area related to the statement of the last statement that he read from the text of the author, it is related to a person who leaves off one of the salat or a fast that is obligatory upon him on purpose. And he doesn't even in its entirety, he leaves one on purpose, or any of them on purpose. He said, the Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he said that the individual is to make it up, and it is obligatory upon him to make it up. And this is the position of the four madahab. Of course, the famous madhab, the Hanafi madhab, the Maliki madhab, the Shafi'i, and of course the Hanbali madhab, that he is to make it up or make them up. And this is, there's ijma', some of the fuqaha stated ijma' regarding this issue. Tafadhal Shaykh, barakallahu fik.
Wa qad dalla ala wujub qada'i as-salah qawluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as-sahih man nasiya salatan aw nama 'anha fakaffaratuha أن يصليها إذا ذكرها. ووجه الاستدلال من هذا الحديث أنه إذا وجب القضاء على المعذور فالعامد أولى بالوجوب وأحرى. تفضل.
جزاك الله خير شيخ وبارك الله فيك. الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى, he said with regards to the proof of making up the salat is the hadith which is authentically related from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that the one who forgets the prayer or he sleeps through it, then he is to make it up when he remembers it. And the Shaykh Hafidha Allah Ta'ala, he said that this is proof that the individual is to make up the salat, and it is obligatory upon him to make up the salat. And the fact that it is obligatory upon him to make up the salat, then this is also proof that he is to make up fasts if he missed them. And this is because this is from Bab al-Awla, or more deserving, because if the salat is obligatory upon him to make up, then anything less than the salat is thereby obligatory upon him to make up if he misses it. Tafadhal Shaykh, barakallahu fik.
Wa naqala الحافظ بن عبد البر رحمه الله وغيره إجماع أهل العلم على وجوب القضاء على من أفطر في نهار رمضان متعمدا أو من ترك صيامه أو شيئا منه عن عمد. تفضل.
The Shaykh Hafidha Allah Ta'ala, he narrated a statement from the position of Ibn Abd al-Barr rahimahullah Ta'ala, and from others of the ulama who cited ijma' in regards to the person who has to make up a fast قضاء, which is called قضاء, when you make up the fast for the one who deliberately breaks a fast during Ramadan. يعني he deliberately eats something during the day of Ramadan, breaks up his fast, and he has no excuse. If he deliberately breaks his fast at Ramadan on purpose, it is obligatory upon him to make up this fast. And this is the ijma' of the ulama cited by Ibn Abd al-Barr. تفضل شيخ, بارك الله فيك.
لا يجوز للمسلم أن يؤخر الصلاة عن وقتها, بل يجب عليه أن يفعلها في الأوقات التي أمر الله تعالى أن تؤدى فيه. ومن أخرها حتى خرج وقتها فقد فعل كبيرة من الكبائر, وهو متوعد بالعذاب في النار. فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون. وقد والمراد بهذه الآية من يؤخرها عن وقتها, كما ثبت ذلك عن بعض أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وكذلك لا يجوز له أن يؤخر الصيام الواجب عن وقته من غير عذر, فإن أخره فهو آثم وقد فعل منكرا وذنبا عظيما وكبيرا. تفضل.
جزاك الله خير يا شيخ, بارك الله فيك. The Shaykh Hafidha Allah Ta'ala, he said, it is not permissible for the Muslim to delay the Salat and pray a particular Salat outside of its stipulated time. So it is not permissible for the Muslim to delay the Salat until the time of that particular Salat is finished. If he does so, then this individual, he has committed a major sin from the major sins. And the Shaykh Hafidh Allah Ta'ala reminded us of the ayat where Allah says, وَيْلُ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ, those who are negligent in their salat, and or negligent regarding their salat. And the Shaykh Hafidh Allah Ta'ala, he said, what is meant in this verse is regarding the one who delays the salat and does not pray it in its stipulated time. He delays it and until its time has finished. And likewise, the Shaykh Hafidh Allah Ta'ala, he said, it is not permissible for a person to delay an obligatory fast until outside of its time without having a valid excuse for doing so. So if he has done so, meaning that he has delayed an obligatory fast and done it outside of his stipulated time, then this individual has committed a major sin from amongst the major sins. تفضل شيخ, بارك الله فيك وأحسن الله إليك.
الجهة الرابعة,
الخامسة شيخنا,
الجهة الخامسة, من أخر الزكاة عن وقتها فإنه متى ما أداها أبدأت عنه وبرئت ذمته, إلا أنه يأتم على تخريجها, إلا أنه يأتم على تأخيرها عن وقتها وإخراجها بعد أن مضى أول وقت وجوبها. والزكاة إن كانت من الزروع والثمار فالزكاة وقت زكاتها هو وقت حصادها, لقول الله جل وعلا: وآتوا حقه يوم حصاده. وأما غيرها فإن زكاتها تجب ويدخل وقتها ببلوغها سنة كاملة. تفضل.
جزاك الله خير يا شيخ, بارك الله فيك. The Shaykh Hafidh Allah Ta'ala, He said that the fifth area related to the author's statement is the individual who delays the zakat. He delays paying the zakat from the time that it becomes obligatory upon him. That this individual who was like this, yani the zakat becomes obligatory and the person procrastinates and delays it, this individual, when he pays it, he has fulfilled the obligation of paying it. And that responsibility has been fulfilled. But at the same time, this individual has incurred sin for the fact that he delayed paying the zakat after the fact that it had the conditions for it being obligatory upon him have been met. And the Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he said that the individual has incurred sin because he delayed paying the zakat after it had become obligatory upon him. And with regards to those things, the crops which are obligatory to pay zakat upon that come from the earth, it is obligatory to pay them upon, yani, when the crops are ready, yani, the day that the crops are ready. And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala referred to the ayah that where Allah says the meaning of and fulfill its right, yani the right of zakat, yom hasad, yani the day that the crops are gathered. And with regards to the other things that zakat, a person must pay zakat, with regards to the conditions must be met and the one entire year must go around before it becomes obligatory upon the person paying the zakat. Tafadhal Shaykh, barakallahu fik.
Al-jiha al-akhira, man mata wa lam yahujj, fa inna ahlahu yahujju عنه إما من ماله وما تركه من إل أو تبرعا من عند أنفسهم. فقد صح في الحديث أن امرأة من جهينة جاءت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت إن أمي نذرت أن تحج فلم تحج حتى ماتت، أبا حج عنها؟ قال نعم حجي عنها. أرأيت لو كان على أمك دين أكنت قاضيه؟ فقض الله فالله أحق بالوفاء.
تفضل. الشيخ حفيد الله تعالى, he said that the last area, the sixth and final area with regards to the author's statement, his last, the last paragraph of the text, he said it's regarding the person who dies, but he has not made Hajj. So he dies before making Hajj. He said, the Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he said that his family makes Hajj on behalf of this individual, and they are to do so either from his money, the irth or inheritance that he has left, or from them, they're volunteering from their own wealth and paying for Hajj on his behalf. And the proof of this is from the hadith where the woman from Juhayna came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said that her mother had made a covenant to make Hajj, but she had died before doing so. Should I make Hajj on her behalf? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he drew the example. He said, if your mother died and she had a debt upon her, would you have paid it? And the woman said, yes. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the right of Allah Azza wa Jal, yani meaning Hajj, the right of Allah Azza wa Jal is more deserving of being paid. And this is an exemplification of the fact that if the individual dies before making Hajj, somebody from his family is to make Hajj on that individual's behalf. So, Father Shaykh, Barakallahu Fik wa Ahsan Allahu Ilayk.
وَلَا يَلِقُ بِالْمُسْلِمْ أَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ الْحَجِّ وَقَدْ وَجَدَ لِحَجِّهِ مَالًا وكانت صحته طيبة وجيدة، فهو لا يأمن أن يموت في أي لحظة، وموته ليس بيده يأتي متى ما شاء، بل هو بيد الله جل وعلا، فقد يفجأه ولم يحج بعد. وقد ثبت عن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال: ليموت يهوديا أو نصرانيا رجل مات ولم يحج، ووجد لذلك سعة وخليت سبيله. وثبت عن عبد الله بن معقل أنه قال: من مات ولم يحج وهو مستطيع مات وهو عاصم، مات وهو لله عاصم. وثبت أن سعيد بن جبير رحمه الله قال لجار له أنه قال: لو كان لي جار موسر، يعني يستطيع الحج، لو كان لي جار موسر ثم مات ولم يحج لم أصلي عليه. فاغتنموا بارك الله فيكم الصحة والفراق، وحجوا إذا لم تكونوا قد حججتم. تفضل.
جزاك الله خير يا شيخ، بارك الله فيك. The Shaykh Hafidha Allah Ta'ala, he said that it is not becoming or it is not fitting for a Muslim to delay making Hajj after he has the means, or it is not permissible, it is not fitting for him, it is not becoming or fitting for him to delay making the Hajj while he has the means, with regards to his health, with regards to financial abilities, because this individual, he's not guaranteed that he will live long enough to make the Hajj, and he is not guaranteed that he will live long enough to be able to be alive when Hajj comes around, because of course death and life are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Umar, the Shaykh Hafidhahullah ta'ala, he alluded to some of the statements of the companions, that Umar said that the person has resembled the Nasara or the Christians or the Jews, who the person has resembled these individuals if he died and he found the means to make Hajj, and he died whilst having the means to make Hajj and he didn't make it. And there was another companion who said that the one who dies and he is able to make Hajj and didn't make Hajj, then he has died as a sinner. And the Sheikh, he had a narration or an athar from Sa'id ibn Jubair. He said that if he had a neighbor, he said this to a neighbor, he said if he had a neighbor who had the means and the ability to make Hajj and he didn't do so, then he would not pray over him. Yani he would not make the funeral prayer over him. And the Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he was giving advice to us, and he said that if you have the means, may Allah bless you, if you have the means to make Hajj, then you should not delay it. And this is for those people who have not already made Hajj, but those individuals who find the means to make Hajj, then they should rush to doing so, because the individual is not guaranteed that he will live long enough to make the Hajj. Jazakallah khairan Shaykh, wa barakallahu fiqh.
الآن أطرح الأسئلة كاملة وبعدها تتلزمها، لأن المساء قد وضع أمامي. السؤال الأول: اذكر دليلا من القرآن ودليلا من السنة ودليلا عن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم على أن القرآن كلام الله. السؤال الثاني: اذكر دليلا من القرآن ودليلا من السنة على أن المؤمنين يرون ربهم جل وعلا بأعينهم في الدار الآخرة.
طيب.
السؤال الثالث: اذكر مذهب السلف الصالح على السنة والحديث في صفات الله جل وعلا. السؤال الرابع أو الخامس:
الرابع،
اذكر دليلين من القرآن ودليلين من السنة على أن الله جل وعلا في السماء على أن الله جل وعلا في السماء مستوى على عرشه استواء يليق بجلاله وعظمته. السؤال الخامس أو السادس.
خامس يا شيخ.
إذا سئل إنسان أين الله فقال إن الله في كل مكان أو في قلوب عباده المؤمنين، فما حكم قوله هذا مع ذكر فما حكم قوله هذا ومع ذكر الدليل؟ السؤال الذي بعده، ما هو مذهب أهل السنة جهة من يفعلون بعض كبائر الذنوب؟ ما هو مذهب أهل السنة جهة من يقعون في كبائر الذنوب دون الكفر والشرك؟ وما هو مذهب الخوارج؟ السؤال الذي بعده، اذكر دليلين من القرآن ودليلين من السنة النبوية على أن مرتكب الكبيرة ليس بكافر وإنما هو عاص وناقص الإيمان، مع بيان وجه الاستدلال من الآية والحديث. والسؤال الذي بعده، ما حكم من نطق ما حكم من استطاع أن ينطق بالشهادتين فلم ينطق، وهل يصح إسلامه أم لا؟ والسؤال الذي بعده، ما حكم تارك الصلاة والصوم والحج والزكاة جحودا وبهذا القدر كفاية؟ وأسأل الله جل وعلا أن يجعلني وإياكم ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
جزاك الله خير يا شيخ، وبارك الله فيك، وبارك الله في علمك، ونفع الله بك، ونسأل الله أن يجعله في ميزان حسناتك شيخ. الله يحفظك.
آمين يا أرحم الراحمين.
بارك الله فيك. جزاك الله خير. الله يحييك. بارك الله فيك. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. The questions that the Sheikh حفظه الله تعالى left for today's lesson, the fourth and final lesson of this book, أصول السنة لأبي بكر الحميدي رحمة الله عليه. The first question was, mention proof from the Quran and the Sunnah and the Sahaba that the Quran is the speech of Allah. That was the first question, to mention proof from the Quran and the Sunnah and statements of the Sahaba that the Quran is the speech of Allah. And the second question is, mention proof from the Quran and the Sunnah that the believers will see their Lord with their eyes in the Akhirah. That was the second question. Mention proof from the Quran and the Sunnah that the believers will see their Lord with their eyes in the Akhirah. The third question was, mention the madhab of the Salaf, Ahlul Hadith, regarding Allah's attributes. Yani, what is the position of the, or the methodology of the Salaf and Ahlul Hadith regarding Sifat Allah Azza wa Jal or Allah's attributes? The fourth question was, mention two proofs from the Quran and two proofs from the Sunnah that Allah is above the heavens, above His throne, in a manner that is befitting of His exaltedness and majesty. Again, the fourth question is, mention two proofs from the Quran and two proofs from the Sunnah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the heavens, above His throne, in a manner which suits His majesty and exaltedness. The fifth question was, if an individual is asked, where is Allah? If the individual is asked, where is Allah? And he says, or he responds, that Allah is everywhere. Or he responds that Allah is in the hearts of the believer. What is the ruling of this saying? And mention the proof for your answer. Again, the fifth question is, if an individual is asked, where is Allah? And his response is, Allah is everywhere or in the heart of the believer. What is the ruling with regards to this statement? And mention the proof for this ruling. The sixth question was, what is the position or methodology of Ahlul Sunnah, the madhab of Ahlul Sunnah, regarding the person who commits a major sin without falling into kufr and shirk? Yani the person commits a major sin, and this major sin is not kufr and it is not shirk. What is the position? What is the position of Ahlul Sunnah regarding this individual? And what is the position of the Khawarij? Again, the question is, what is the madhab of Ahlul Sunnah regarding the person who commits a major sin? That major sin not being kufr and not being shirk. What is the position of Ahlul Sunnah regarding this person? And what is the position of the Khawarij regarding this person? The seventh question was, mention two proofs from the Quran and two proofs from the Sunnah that a person who commits a major sin is not a disbeliever, rather he is a believer who is deficient with regards to his iman, and mention proofs from the Quran and the Hadith. The eighth question was, what is the ruling regarding the person who has the ability to verbalize and pronounce the Shahada, but he doesn't do so? Is his Islam correct? What is the ruling regarding the person who has the ability to verbalize and pronounce the Shahadatain, but he doesn't do so? Is his Islam correct? And the final question was, the ruling, what is the ruling of the person who leaves the Salat, he leaves the Zakat, yani he doesn't perform the Salat, he doesn't perform the Zakat, he doesn't perform the Sawm or the fasting, and he doesn't perform Hajj out of Juhudan, or denying their being obligatory. What is the ruling regarding this individual? Again, the last question, the last and final question was, what is the ruling of the individual who leaves the Salat, he leaves the Sawm, he leaves the Zakat, he leaves the Hajj, he does not perform them out of Juhudan, which means denial, or the denial, or that these things are obligatory. What is the ruling regarding this individual? And with that, the Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he left the lesson by making dua that Allah make us from amongst the people who listen to the statement and they follow the best of the statements. And the Shaykh asks Allah to benefit us with beneficial knowledge and acting upon it. And with that, he completed the explanation of this glorious book, this blessed book, the book Usul al-Sunnah from Imam Abu Bakr al-Humaydi. And we ask that Allah place the Shaykh's lessons in his scales of good deeds, and that Allah protect him and bless him and bless his knowledge. And with that, we conclude the translation of this lesson. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ